This lesson is TBP 19, and the title of this lesson is How to Receive More Than You Ask For, talking about prayer.
Well, how many want to know how to get the very best when you pray? You want to know how to get the very best? I mean, you know, I think sometimes we don't realize that when we pray, Ephesians 3:20 says, and God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask, which is prayer, right, or think. You know, it just was quickened to me this week. And God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. You might say, well, don't you always get what you ask for? God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask if you know how to ask. And that's the thing the Lord quickened to me this week is there's answers to prayer and there's answers to prayer. Sometimes you just get what you ask for, and sometimes God does exceedingly abundantly above all you even ask for. And there's a key to when He does that. So let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, as I begin to read this this afternoon, it occurred to me, and I think it was God showing me this, that every ingredient to answered prayer that we've talked about is summed up in this chapter. Now, it's interesting. I never knew that. Now, just by way of review, before we read this, remember when we talked about the prayer petition, the first thing you do is you decide what you want from God. Okay, that seems obvious, but that's the first thing. Mark 11:24 was our kind of charter verse here. Things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And so, first of all, decide what you want. Secondly, find the scripture that covers your case. Third, meditate on that verse until it becomes real enough that when you pray that you can believe you receive at that moment. That was the next step. And then ask. And then finally, let every thought, word, and action reinforce the fact that you believed you received when you prayed. Okay? That was our steps. Well, unbeknownst to me, there's a chapter in the Word of God, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where this is all summed up. The Old Testament. So let's just take a look at this thing because I think there's some really neat things in here. And at the very end here, we're going to discuss the fact of how to receive even more from the Lord. What makes Him move even exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask for? So let's just look at it. We'll just start with verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi, whatever it is. Okay, so we have here in the first two verses a situation. We have Jehoshaphat, who was a godly king, and he's being attacked by at least three, four armies here that are coming against him. So that's sort of like our lives sometimes. You know, you're going along, and all of a sudden it seems like things just kind of hit. Now, what the Lord quickened to me was, what did Jehoshaphat do when he was confronted with all this contrary evidence? And there's some really neat lessons here. Verse 3 says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. If you look at the margin of my Bible, on himself it says his face. Jehoshaphat set his face to seek the Lord. And that setting your face is an old time expression that means You know, they say, set your face like flint. In other words, he set his face to God. That was it. I mean, he had a problem, and he decided that I have to just set my face toward God. And the first thing he did is he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah, this is kind of neat, gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. You can just imagine the situation. They got a problem. And here everybody in the whole area is getting together. They're coming from all the cities to one central location to fast and to pray and find out what to do. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. So Jehoshaphat, Judah, and Jerusalem, three J's, standing in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen, and in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Now here they're starting off their prayer. They're pleading their case before the Lord. They're kind of setting the stage for their prayer. Because in verse 4 it says they gathered together to ask help of the Lord. Okay, that's why they all came together. They decided, here's our problem. We need some help. That sounds pretty elementary, doesn't it? We got a problem here. So number one, they decided what they wanted, and that was help. All right? In verse 4, and help only from the Lord. They set their faith. They weren't going to accept anything else except from the Lord. All right? So they start to plead their case, and they said, art thou, in verse 7, art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and give it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? All right, now they're setting their case out. Now look at what he's done here in verse 7, the last part. Didn't you give this land to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? Isn't that your promise in the word? Isn't that what you said you'd do? He's finding his scripture right here. He's finding his basis for faith here. You see that? It's just like what we're doing. He's finding out, God, you said in your word, you said that if anybody came against us, you said that you gave it to us forever. Okay? And they dwelt, and you said that the people that dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary for thy name, saying, if when evil comes upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then you said you'd hear and help. And now behold, Lord, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you wouldn't let us invade when we first came out of the land of Egypt, but we turned from them and we didn't destroy them. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which you gave us to inherit. Again, there's that promise from God. He's bringing that promise up before the Lord. First, they're asking for help. Secondly, they're finding the scripture or the promise that applies to their situation. And he's saying, you gave us this land, and here we have these people coming against us to throw us out of this land. Lord, what about this? All right. So they've done the first two steps. Have they decided what they want? They've found the scripture. And now, verse 12. O our God, will you not judge them? Now they're asking. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. Now this is kind of key, but our eyes are upon thee. Okay, now they're asking, aren't they? What do they ask for? First of all, they said, won't you judge them? If you look in the Hebrew, another word for that is punish them. Won't you take care of them for us, number one? For why? Because we don't have any might on our own against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do. God, show us what to do. But our eyes are upon you. Remember last week we talked about the one thought that all prayer can reduce to, and that is once you've prayed, you've given it all to Him, and He's responsible for answering that prayer. It says, our eyes are upon thee. Well, that's the key to really the attitude for really getting your prayers answered, is that you decide what you want, you find the scripture that applies, and you say, God, this is it. We're looking only at you. This thing's answered. You're going to have to do it because we don't have the power to do it. So many times we get in that situation where we pray, but then we say, you know, and I've done this myself. Okay, now I'm walking this out. You know, I've prayed. But be careful that you're not walking in your own strength when you do that, because it's in His strength that you'll do it. You know, I know so many times if sickness or something or symptoms come, you know, and say, okay, I've prayed. I believe I receive it. And now that you kind of get in your head, no matter what, now I'm walking this out. I don't care how bad I feel, I'm going to work, I'm going to do this. And a certain amount of that's good, but be careful you don't fall over the line where you're trusting your own willpower to get this thing done. So their eyes were only upon the Lord. And they stood before, and it says in verse 13. Now there's key, I think, between 12 and 13. It said in the last part of 12, but our eyes are upon thee. End of prayer. Now what did they do? Now, you know, if it was me and maybe some of us, what we'd do is we'd pray this prayer and then we'd all get together. We're all feeling spiritual. We're going to find the scripture. We're going to ask what we want for. Or, you know, we ask and then we all kind of go away, you know, and hoping this thing's going to work out. But they didn't go away. They stood there. And it says, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. They're waiting. They've prayed now. They expect something to happen. And, you know, if you look in Hebrew again, that stood, you know, it says, took their stand, remained standing. In other words, we don't know how long that might have been. It might have been 10 minutes. It might have been 2 hours. It might have been half a day. I don't know. But when they got done praying, they stood before the Lord and waited for Him to show them what to do. Verse 14 starts out with an interesting word. Then. Then the Lord did something. When? After they stood before the Lord and said, Lord, the only way this is going to work out is you're going to have to do something. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. After they stood before him, after they prayed, after they waited only for his word in this situation. In verse 15 he said, and the Lord said through Jehaziel, hearken ye all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Now, when I read that this afternoon, I thought, you know, that's the same three things it mentions in verse 5. Jehoshaphat, Judah, and Jerusalem. God knew who was there. He knew who was praying. His eyes were upon them. And as they trusted him, and as they prayed to him, and believed for him to hear him, and waited before him, and wouldn't make a move or turn, and all the people are gathered together in unity, all people are looking at God, they've prayed, they're not turning any other way, but their eyes are focused only on the Lord, and he's the only one that's going to get him out of this. We've prayed, we found your promise, God. They waited, and as they waited, God spoke. And he spoke, and he said, I see you. And he said, I see you, Jehoshaphat. I see you, all you people that live in Jerusalem. I see all you people from Judah that have come here, fasting. And he said, thus saith the Lord unto you. Okay, here's your personal word for what you need in this situation. Now here it is. Listen up. That's what he's saying to them. You've waited before me, you've prayed, and here I am. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you to do. Number one. Don't be afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude you see coming. Don't look at the numbers coming against you. Number two, for the battle is not yours but God's. Number three, tomorrow I want you to go down against them. Behold, and he tells them where they're coming from. They're coming up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. So after all this fasting, we don't know how long they did it, and praying, God spoke these words to them for their situation on that particular day, for their particular need. And the thing is, they listened. Okay? So that's all God said. He's done now. He said what he needs to say. So they don't know. All they know is God said that they wouldn't need to fight, but they should go out against them. All on the surface, that sounds a little contradictory. Going out against them, but you don't have to fight. Well, if you go out against four armies coming against you, you know, the odds are good you're going to have to fight. But God says, no, go out against them, but you won't have to fight. Well, for once in their lives, they did what God said to do. Not like when they said cross the Jordan and they didn't. So what did Jehoshaphat do? He bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And when they did that, to me, it indicates that was it. That's the answer. They fell on their faces before God. We got our answer. You know, that's, I think, when God tells you in his word something, that's your answer. Fall on your face. That's it. That's the thing that you need to know. That's the thing that you need to stand on. And that's what he was doing. He was taking the word of God, and he fell down. He's been to worship God. We've got our answer. And it said, and the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Kohites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Okay, and then they go to sleep for the night, and they wake up in the morning. You know, they're all excited that night, and they're ready to go in the morning. And they go forth into this wilderness. I'm going to have to hurry a little here. And Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, what the guy said yesterday, and you'll prosper. Just keep your eyes on the fact and your mind on the fact that God spoke to us yesterday. And what, no matter what it looks like, we're just doing what God said to do. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now here's a point here. God never said when he spoke to them, start praising me when you go out before them, and then I'll really go to work for you. He didn't say that. All he said to do was go out against them, do these things. And you know, every other time I've ever read this, I thought that because they started praising, they got the answer. And what I believe the Lord showed me this afternoon was, he would have answered them anyway. Not the way he did, but because they did what he said to do, go out before them, meet them, he would answer their prayer. Because his conditions, when they meet those conditions, he'll answer his part of it, right?
But they added this little bit. They went before the Lord, praising Him, thanking Him before they saw it. And I really believe God was showing me this afternoon that, you know, they enriched the pot when they did this. Because, you know, if you go on and read this, it shows that the armies, well, in the next verse here it says, "And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another." They destroyed each other. Now, God could have done this any several ways. In many other times in the Old Testament, they'd hear a word from their own land. You know, there's another army. God would cause them to hear a rumor that someone else was going to attack them. And the troops would get up and they'd go home before they had to fight the Israelites. And the Israelites got out of a big fight that way sometimes. There were other ways. But see, if they'd have done that, two neat things that happened here would never have happened. If that army would have just picked up and they all moved back to their own respective countries because for some other rumor they heard or they were being attacked at home, they would never have got, number one, all the booty that was left behind by these guys when they fought each other. And number two, they would have still had to contend with these birds some other time in the future. As it was, they wiped themselves out. That's exceedingly abundantly above all they really asked for. And why did they get exceedingly abundantly above? Because they approached the thing that they were supposed to do, praising God for the answer before they saw it in the natural. And that's what the Lord showed me, is that after you've prayed, the strongest thing you can do to still the enemy and to keep him from attacking your prayers and the things that you're believing for is begin to praise Him. That's the strongest thing you can do. Even when you haven't seen the answer. See, they hadn't seen anything yet. All they knew is they were marching out against these guys because God told them to. God said they wouldn't have to fight. But hey, there's four armies coming at me and we're marching out against them. God's going to handle this some way. And they just began to praise God, even though they didn't have any idea how God was going to do this. And as they began to praise the Lord and worship Him, then it tells us that the rest of this chapter, it took them 3 days to pick up all the good things that the Lord left behind for them. They spent 3 whole days, think about it, all day long gathering up all this stuff, loading it, taking it back, sleeping overnight, loading it all up the next day, all this goody, taking it back, sleeping overnight, taking it all the next day, loading it all up, taking all this goods they got back. That was God's best. That was exceedingly abundantly above all they asked for. That was above what they asked for. And the Word says God is able to do that. And the thing is, just keep in mind, is if we pray here, I just think that it'd be a good idea to begin to thank God for the answer for some of these things. Begin to praise Him for the fact before we see it. And then the answer that we probably would get anyway if we're praying in faith will be enhanced even more than we ask. You know, and I had some things that we could just talk, some examples of that. But I think that's enough for tonight. Just know that when you praise God for the answer before you can see it in the natural, that's the most powerful thing you can do as far as your faith. Because, you know, you're not just saying, well, let's see what's going to happen. We'll kind of stagger out there and see what's going on. But you begin to praise God and thank Him and worship Him for what you haven't seen in the natural yet. Now let's go over the homework for this lesson. First question, fill in the blanks. The first step in the prayer of petition is to blank what you blank from God. And I give you Mark 11:24. If you go back and read Mark 11:24, here's what it says. Jesus said this. He said, "What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Okay, that's Mark 11:24. Now, knowing what Mark 11:24 says, let's fill in the blanks. The first step in the prayer of petition is to decide what you desire from God. Remember the scripture said, what things soever you desire. First thing you have to do is find out what you desire, or decide on what you desire specifically, so that you can phrase it to the Lord in a way that for exactly what you want. So that's the first step. The second step is to find the blank blank that covers your desire. What goes in these blanks? The second step is to find the Bible promise that covers your desire. Why do we need to find the Bible promise? Because in Mark 11:24 it says, "What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive." You can't believe you receive when you pray unless you know that God desires you to have this thing. In other words, that it's covered by a Bible promise. That's the way that you believe you receive when you pray. Because remember, faith to believe you receive when you pray comes by hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17. So the second step is to find the Bible promise that covers your desire. Next question. The third step is to blank on that blank until it becomes real enough to you that you can blank you blank when you blank. What goes in these blanks? The third step, now we're still talking about this prayer of petition, the third step is to meditate on that promise until it becomes real enough to you that you can believe you receive when you pray. Folks, I'm just reviewing here the steps in the prayer of petition because they're so important. If you'll just remember these steps and go by these steps, you'll have an answer to your prayer every single time. And that's bold, isn't it? But Jesus said, "What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and ye shall sometimes have them." No, he said, "Ye shall have them." So we need to know what are in these steps in this prayer, what the Bible says, and that's why we're going over this. So the third step is to meditate on that promise until it becomes real enough to you that you can believe you receive when you pray, because that's exactly what this scripture says we need to do. Now, fourth step. The fourth step is to blank, and the fifth step is to let every blank, blank, and blank reinforce the fact that you believed you blank when you blank. Okay, let's fill in those blanks. The fourth step is to pray. You got to pray then. Once you can believe that you receive when you pray, you pray. And then the fifth step is to let every thought, word, and action reinforce the fact that you believed you received when you prayed. And you keep doing that until the answer is manifested. So let me just very quickly, since we were filling in blanks, it might not be as clear. Let me quickly go over the five steps to the prayer of petition. Do this and you get an answer, yes, to your prayer every single time. The first step is to decide what you want. The second step is to find the Bible promise that covers your desire. The third step is to meditate on that promise until it becomes real enough that you can believe you receive when you pray. The fourth step then is to pray, and only pray then. Remember, only pray after you have that faith that promise will be that you can believe you receive when you pray. So the fourth step is to finally pray when you're at that point. And the fifth step then is after you've prayed is to let every thought, word, and action reinforce the fact that you believed you received when you prayed. And you keep doing that until you receive the manifestation. Because remember, in Mark 11:24, Jesus said, "What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe," okay, "you receive. Then you shall have it." In other words, at a future time, after you've prayed, you shall have it. So between the time you pray and the time it's manifested, you need to let every thought, word, and action continue to reinforce the fact that you believed you received when you prayed. Now, let's go on and discuss some more things about this. All the ingredients to the prayer of petition listed in these five steps are also demonstrated in 2 Chronicles 20. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. That was the whole point of our lesson, was showing that these five steps that Jesus talked about in the New Testament were also demonstrated back in the Old Testament in the account of Jehoshaphat and what the tribe of Judah did when they were attacked by a multitude of people that came against them. Okay, now from now on, we're going to answer questions from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And that was in our lesson, in our teaching that you listened to. And so based on that teaching, you need to answer these questions. Okay, first question. What was Judah's problem, the tribe of Judah's problem, and what did they desire? Do you remember? Okay, what was it from the lesson? Number one, what was their problem? They were being attacked, weren't they, by this multitude. So that would be Judah's problem. What did they desire? They desired for God to show them what to do. Remember, Jehoshaphat said, "We don't know what to do. Lord, show us what to do." And then the prophet spoke and showed them what to do. So number one, they were being attacked. And number two, they desired for God to show them what to do. Jehoshaphat found and discussed with the Lord the blank on which to base his faith and blank. What goes in those blanks? But Jehoshaphat found and discussed with the Lord the promise on which to base his faith and prayer. Remember when Jehoshaphat prayed, he discussed with the Lord a promise that the Lord had made to the tribe of Judah and to all the Israelites, actually, and discussed that promise. And he went before the Lord with the promise. That would be, to us, that would be the scripture that we're basing our prayer on which to base his faith and prayer. Okay, so what goes in those blanks is promise and prayer. Jehoshaphat asked blank for what they blank and committed the answer to their desire to the Lord, not to their own blank. Okay, let's fill in those blanks. Jehoshaphat asked for what they desired and then committed the answer to their desire to the Lord, not to their own strength. So what goes in that last blank is strength, or own strength, whichever you want to put there. Next question. They blank when they blank, with their eyes focused only on God for the answer. And again, I give you the reference, Mark 11:24. They believed, they received, when they prayed, with their eyes focused only on God for their answer. See, they did exactly what we're to do when we pray the prayer of petition. And this example is clear back in the Old Testament. Even though Jesus only discussed this in the New Testament. So we have an example in the Old Testament for exactly what Jesus said we're to do when we pray this type of prayer. True or false? It was easier for them to believe God than it is for us because God spoke to them, telling them what to do. Is that true or false? Remember, God in this account spoke to them through the prophet Jehaziel. Was it easier for them to believe God than it is for us because God spoke to them, telling them what to do? Is that true or false? That's false. It's not easier for them to believe. How does God speak to us now? He speaks to us from his word, which is just as valid as any prophet. Because remember, the word of God, it says, was inspired, written by inspiration of God. And so our promises come from the word of God, which he left us, that they didn't even have back at that time. So it wasn't easier for them to believe God than it is for us, because we have promises that are even greater than the promises that they had back then, because we live under the new covenant, which Hebrews tells us is a better covenant than they had. So that would be false. When we praise God for the answer before we see any answer, this is acting on our faith, and it pleases God. Is that true or false? Well, that's true, folks. When we praise God for the answer, and not just do it mechanically, but really, truly praise God because we believed we received when we prayed, when we do that before we see any manifestation, this is a form of acting on our faith, and it does please God. So that is true. Next question. If we just have faith, God will answer our prayers. Is that true or false? A lot of people think that's true, but it's not. It's false. You need more than just having faith. Why? Because the Word of God tells us in James 2:17 that faith without works or corresponding actions is dead, being alone. In other words, faith is a necessary but not a sufficient condition to receive answers to our prayers. Yes, you need faith. It's very important. Just get that promise down in your heart so that faith comes in your heart by meditating on the promise. But that isn't enough, is it? We need to act on our faith. So it's false. If we just have faith, God won't answer our prayers. And there's many examples in the Word of God where people that had faith never got their what they desired simply because they never acted on their faith. And I won't go into it right now, but if you want to read a case like this, it's in Acts chapter 14 of a crippled man. He said he had faith, but nothing happened for him till he acted on his faith. So that's false. We need more than faith. Faith's important. We need that, but we need more than faith. So it's false the way it's stated. Next question. They, talking about the tribe of Judah and Jehoshaphat, did exactly what God told them to do and were blessed. This can happen to us too. That is true. That's why it's in the Bible in the first place, is to show us the steps it takes to receive God's blessing. So that's true. Next question. Because Jehoshaphat and Judah obeyed God, they ended up better off than they would have been even if they'd never been attacked. Is that true or false? Well, folks, that's exactly true. You might say, well, how can that be so? I mean, they were being attacked, and yes, God delivered them, but were they better off? Yes, they were. Go back and read that account, and you'll find out that not only did they not enemy get defeated, they didn't even have to fight in the battle, and then afterwards, all the spoils were theirs for the taking. And it took them 3 days to haul off all the spoils and the treasures and the things that this enemy that destroyed themselves had with them, and they collected it all. So they ended up actually better off than they would have been even if they'd never been attacked. That is true. And that's really what we're talking about in this lesson, talking about this type of prayer. Remember, the title of our lesson was How to Receive More Than You Ask For. So they got more than they bargained for simply because of a certain thing we're going to talk about in a minute. Next question. My actions and words after I have prayed should agree with the fact that I believed I received when I prayed. Is that true or false? That is so true, folks. This is very important. A lot of people will pray, and they believe when they receive when they pray, but then after a few days go by, they begin to say things like, you know, I really thought God heard my prayer, and I really believe, but I haven't seen anything change. In fact, things have gotten worse. I guess it's just not working. And folks, when we do that, then our actions and words after we pray do not match the faith that we exhibited when we prayed, and everything in our prayer comes to a screeching halt. That's why the fifth step in the prayer of petition is to let every thought, word, and action reinforce the fact that you believed you received when you prayed. And you do that between the time that you pray and the time the answer is manifested. So don't give up. Continue to praise and thank God for the answer and act on your faith after you've prayed, so that the answer to this question is true. True or false? It's foolish to praise God for an answer to prayer that hasn't happened yet, because it may never happen, and then I would look foolish. Is that true or false? Well, I think everybody's going to get this one and mark it false. It's not foolish to praise God for an answer to prayer that hasn't happened yet, because that's exactly what we need to do to act on our faith, so it will happen. So it's not foolish to praise God for the answer to prayer that hasn't happened yet. As a matter of fact, if you go back and read Philippians 4:6, which wasn't part of this lesson, but it comes to my mind right now, it says, "Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication," that's what we're talking about, prayer of petition, "prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Notice that you're supposed to use the thanksgiving while you're making your request, and right after you make a request. This is not something you do after you see the answer to your prayer. You do it right then when you're praying. This is the whole point of our lesson, folks, so I hope you understand the answer to this question. Because praising God and thanking God for the answer to our prayer is what got Jehoshaphat and Judah all the extras that they got. Remember, they were being attacked, which looked very bad, and it was. But when they prayed, and because they did this thanksgiving and praise after they prayed, before they saw the answer, they received not only victory in the battle, they also didn't have to fight in the battle, and they also then received all the spoils from the battle that they didn't have to fight. After the other people fought each other, all these multitudes fought each other, then the spoils were left in the field and they just picked them up. They never had to fight and they received all this extras. Why? Because they did something more than just ask God for something. They praised Him for the answer before they saw it. So this is very important. Next question, true or false? Praise shuts down and silences our enemy, the devil. Is this true or false? And I give you Psalm 8:2. If you go back and look up Psalm 8:2, you find out that it says, "Praise stills the enemy and the avenger." That would be Satan, the devil, and his cohorts. So praise is very important, folks. We had a lesson in the last series talked about praise stops Satan and looses God. And it does. It's called the double barrel prayer, I called it in that lesson. And praise shuts down and silences our enemy. It stops Satan and then looses God on our behalf. So it is. You might go back and listen to that lesson. I think it's in the series right before this lesson. And there's one of the teachings in there is called the double-barreled prayer. Next question, true or false? We have it even better than Jehoshaphat did because when we get into trouble, the Holy Spirit lives right inside us, and we don't need a prophet to tell us what to do. Is this true or false? Folks, this is absolutely true. You know, people say, well, Jehoshaphat and all them were blessed back then because they were God's people and they blah, blah, blah. Hey, you and I are God's people, aren't we? And we have something they didn't have. They didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. That doesn't come until the new birth. We have the very Holy Spirit of God, the mighty Holy Spirit of God, living right in our spirits. And he lives in there, and through the inner witness and other ways, he can speak to us and tell us what to do. We don't need to go to a prophet to find out what to do, because that mighty Holy Spirit is right there, ready and waiting to tell us and show us what to do. So that is true. And then I say in the next question, it gets even better because we also have a Bible full of promises, which Jehoshaphat didn't have, and the Bible is more reliable than any man who may or may not be speaking God's word. That is true. It's even better because we have a Bible, a written account of all God's promises that they didn't have. All they had, when they wanted to know something, if they could remember what God said, they could use that and go back like Jehoshaphat did here. He remembered some promises God made just from his mind. But these things weren't written down back then. We have a Bible full of God's promises written down that we can go research anytime we want. Say, aha, there's a promise for healing, for financial prosperity, how to raise your children, anything that you want. You can go in there and find out what God's promise says and then meditate on that promise until that faith is in your heart so that you can believe you receive when you pray, and then you can go get that promise by prayer. And so, folks, we have it even better because we have a whole Bible filled with God's promises for his born-again believers. So that is true. It gets even better yet because they were servants, but we're God's very own sons and daughters. Is that true or false? That's true, folks. They were servants of God. God didn't have any sons or any daughters other than Jesus Christ himself until we could become Christians. That's when we become children of God, is when we become Christians. Galatians 4:7 says that we're no more servants but sons and daughters of God. That back then they were servants. So it's even better for us because we're God's very own sons and daughters. If you're a born-again child of God, you are God's son or you're God's daughter, depending upon what your sex is. But it's even better for us. This is wonderful, folks. I hope the Holy Spirit is ministering to your spirit as you hear this, because it's a wonderful privilege that we have as born-again believers to be we're God's very own son. I'm a son of God. You're a son of God or a daughter of God if you're a born-again Christian. I'll read now. True or false? God will do for you as he did for them if you will also find your promise, then pray, believe, and act on the promise. Is that true or false? Folks, those are the steps in the prayer petition, and that is true. God will do for you as he did for them, and even more for you, because we have a better covenant established on better promises, Hebrews tells us. So, folks, if you think Jehoshaphat and Judah had it great when you read this account, we have it even better. Now, list the three things to do after you've prayed the prayer petition. Okay, you've prayed the prayer now. Now what do you do? You mean I'm not done yet? No, you're not done yet, because there's time that elapses between the time you pray and the time you receive your answer, and it's very important what you do during this time. Now, list three things to do after you've prayed the prayer petition from our lesson and our outline. What are they? Well, I'll give you four. Number one, don't be afraid. In other words, don't let enemy put fear in your heart that, oh my goodness, I've prayed, but I haven't seen anything yet. Maybe God's not going to answer my prayer. Don't let fear get in there. Number two, remember, once you've prayed, the battle is his. Okay, and that's just exactly like he says, the battle is mine. You will not have to fight in this battle, God told them. You will not have to fight. You don't have to fight, folks. Once we've prayed, just keep thanking and praising God for the answer. Once you've prayed, the battle is His. Number three, let every thought, word, and action reinforce that you believe you received when you prayed. Okay? Number four, praise God for the answer before you see it. Okay? Before it's manifested, that's what I mean. Praise God for the answer right after you pray, even before you see any change. Now, remember, in this case, we're talking about 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Did you notice God just told them to go out against them and you will not need to fight in this battle? He did tell them that, but He did not demand that they praise Him. But they did this on their own, and they received great blessings because they did it. God didn't demand they do this, but they went beyond what God said by praising Him even before they saw the answer. So number four then would be praise God for the answer. Any of those three would be a way of correctly answering this question. I'll very quickly go over them one more time. Number one, don't be afraid. Number two, remember once you've prayed, the battle is His. Mm-hmm. Number three, let every thought, word, and action reinforce that you believed you received when you prayed. Number four, praise God for the answer. Now, last question. What is the key that causes you to receive more than you asked for? What, in other words, this is the answer to our whole lesson now. See if you got it. What is the key that causes you to receive more than you asked for? Because that's the title of our lesson, how to receive more than you asked for. The answer to this question is praise for the answer before you see it manifested. I'll say that again. Praise for the answer before you see it manifested. That's the key. In other words, first, number one, you decide what you want. Number two, find the Bible promise. Number three, meditate on that promise until it becomes real enough that you can believe you receive when you pray. Number four, pray. Five, let every thought, word, and action reinforce the fact that you believe you received when you prayed. And in this fifth step, the important thing, one of the ways you can let every thought, word, and action reinforce the fact that you believe you received when you prayed is to praise the Lord from your heart for the answer before you see it. Now, folks, this should not be a mechanical thing. It shouldn't be say, well, now I need to praise and thank God for the answer. If you believed you received when you prayed, which is a necessary condition to receive a yes answer to the prayer petition, then you can rejoice from your heart that this thing that you prayed for is yours, okay, even before you see it, because you believe you received. Now, if it's forced, then you didn't believe you received when you prayed. You better go back and meditate on that scripture a little bit more. But once you get that down in your heart and you can truly believe you receive when you pray, then praise is the natural consequence of that belief. Okay? And it will cause mighty things to happen. God will move mightily on your behalf. Okay? So the answer to this question is praise for the answer before you see it manifested. That's what Jehoshaphat and Judah did, and look what it got them. And that's the Ephesians 3:20. Remember Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Okay? You want exceedingly abundantly above all you can possibly ask or think? Then praise God during the time you're waiting to see your answer manifested. Remember, folks, these things are put in the Word of God for our example. If you go back and read 1 Corinthians 10:6, it says, now these things were for our examples, okay? So the things that happened in the Old Testament and other places in the Bible are for our examples, all right? And Romans 15:4 also says something similar. I'll read that. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So God put these things in the Bible, folks, so that we know how to behave when trouble comes in our lives, and so that we can come out of a bad situation even better than we went in, and so that we can receive even more than we asked for in our prayer through this praising God for the answer before we see it. Well, this then completes our homework for this lesson.